Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. How do we keep our hearts healthy? Being on lockdown, some of us, and unable to do our normal workout routine, maybe outside or in a gym, makes it a little more difficult. Today, our talk is about keeping our heart healthy. We start with how do our taste buds affect what foods we eat and how do we adjust that? How do we look for healthy choices in our foods, and even flavors of foods too, and how are portions important? After we talk about diet, we also include what kind of foods we should be eating, along with fats and also oils, how it's important for either heart health to help or hurt our heart, along with does our food have normal shelf life and what does that mean and how that can be good for you. Lastly, we talk about also exercise, how it can affect your overall health and your heart, including consistent amounts of exercise on a daily, sometimes basis if possible, to keep your heart healthy, along with lastly, being cautious about our overall health. If we have something going on we're not used to, such as heartburn or something like that, that doesn't go away, do we get checked out right away or do we wait till the last minute, end up going to urgent care or ICU? All right, so I hope this talk kind of helps you get your heart healthy, especially in these times right now. Go right to the talk and we'll wrap it up afterwards. So today's talk is about heart health. It's Valentine's Month, February, things like that, so kind of focus on heart health. A lot with heart health, Dave, coming up, is going to be, what are we doing now, today, to keep our heart health healthy, right? If we keep our heart healthy today, at that point, does it affect us tomorrow? Not necessarily. It may take a couple months, couple years to really affect us, unless you have heart issues like I've had in the past. So realize, keeping our heart healthy today requires understanding what this is. Okay, that's where I asked for the menu for the week and for what do you guys have for breakfast, lunch, dinner here at Gibbs at Brookdale, is understanding what's good for you and what tastes good. What's the difference, right?
What's good for you might not taste good.
Yes. Okay, we're all kids. Once what I talked about earlier about chocolates. Who likes chocolate here? I do.
Chocolates.
I do. Okay, I love chocolate. Okay. Who doesn't like chocolate? And somebody doesn't like chocolate, I feel sorry for them. But between Thanksgiving through Valentine's Day, you can't get away from the sweets you like. Okay? Why do people like sweets? In my opinion, is because our taste buds respond to them very, very well. When we eat sweets, we feel good for that instant. And it may go away within a couple minutes, couple seconds, but that feeling good sets a memory in our memory bank, our subconscious, to go, hey, we want that again. Okay? How do we avoid, or I guess get ourselves weaned off of sweets like a drug? Okay, if I'm taking crack, I don't do crack, but if I did crack or something, okay, or drugs, it takes a while, even medications too, it takes sometimes a while to get off of that medication, off that drug, and that's what sometimes sweets are to people. Okay, about probably 15 years ago now, I think, 15 years, I actually was addicted to Diet Coke. Loved them. By the case, be done by the end of the week. Loved Diet Cokes. Loved the taste, loved the burn of the Diet Coke. You drink like half the same at the one time, it just burns your throat. Loved that feeling. I don't know why. I read something, might have been Google, whatever it was, how bad it was for you. Aspartic acid, the sugar, just that just basically lowers your lifespan by about 20% every year you drink that stuff. So like, that's it, I'm done, no more Diet Cokes. How did I get off of it? I didn't go just cold turkey, but what I did, I switched it to just normal regular tea, iced tea. No sugar and like that too, I might have used some sugar, but something to where I went from being severely addicted to Diet Coke to over here to where I'm gonna slowly get myself off of there. So within a month, drinking just iced tea, okay, a little bit of sugar here and there with the iced tea, I went back to had another Diet Coke just to taste it. I'm like, this doesn't taste right at all. What is this thing? Is it fake Diet Coke or something? What was that one? That's a Coke Clutch or something? Because my taste buds have learned not to need that taste all the time, that artificial sweetener. I mean Diet or Coke's normal Coke's have about six tablespoons of sugar in there. Diet Coke has less, but it has aspartic acid, And that's the deadly thing in Diet Cokes or sodas, that's artificial sweetener. So, and again, that's just my experience. How do we slowly get ourselves healthier so our heart can stay healthy? What makes, and taking a step back, what makes our heart unhealthy? What are things that are toxic to our heart?
Too much salt.
Salt, what else?
That's my problem.
You have the flavor for salt, you have the addiction. Salt's your crack, Brian.
I just stopped taking salt.
And is there salt supplements you can take?
Oh, yeah.
That give you that, if you want a little bit of a kick, that aren't as, I guess, toxic to your body. Mm-hmm. You know? And now there's things out there, besides what you have here, that more stores are becoming more aware consumers want no salt, no sugar, no cholesterol foods and dressings, and if you want to call it marinades too, that make our foods taste good. So they're coming out with more and more of them. A few years ago, they're like, whatever. But people want them, so people are going to buy them. So now companies are going to make them because they're making profit off of them. So besides salt, and what's a good amount of salt per day, per person?
My friend says you need like 3,000 grams.
I go about 30 milligrams.
About
30 milligrams. So maybe a teaspoon, and maybe once a day put some on your food.
This friend said, if you don't have that much salt, your eye ducts will dry up, and you won't have any.
Well, realize salt. Well, that's a good one, because salt, we require salt in our body.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps electrolytes. The sodium helps put water inside our muscles. And our organs and some to function well. Mm-hmm. We need some type of electrolyte in our body every day to let that happen. The problem is with salt, it can corrode and calcify your arteries to make the arteries brittle. Arteries become brittle, they lose their elasticity, so over time, they can actually tear, causing a stroke, an aneurysm, and even clog too, causing a heart attack, like my head here. All right? So a lot of it is, can we limit our salt intakes to maybe 30 milligrams a day, 3,000, well, I'm going to say 30 milligrams, it's a small number for me. I don't like too many zeros, I get lost, I throw out the zeros. But enough to where you have maybe a tablespoon a day. And if you have that per day, what can you substitute salt for instead of salt, what else could you use as a flavoring?
My brother-in-law, that's pepper.
Uh-huh. Pepper is still a corrosive a little bit, but not as much as salt.
And then they have a lot of pepper salt things on that table.
Mm-hmm. So they have salt substitutes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Salt stuff you can use as also too.
Yeah.
Can you use other things, other ingredients that are not that type of a hard material that actually still add flavor to your food? I use oregano. I use garlic. I use parsley. Things that are that less salt additives to them that are more of a natural supplement you can use on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I made eggs this morning. I put green onions in there instead of putting salt and pepper and ketchup and everything else too. Okay? So a lot of it is, can we have things that are around us all the time or even ask for them too? Hey, can I have a bottle of this to put on my foods if it tastes good to you? Who likes ketchup here? Ketchup? I love ketchup. I used to take, I had a buddy of mine, Ron, and in college, we go to lunch, right? Get like a burrito or a taco or a hot dog or a burger. He would take the ketchup packets from the store. He would take them, open them up, suck the whole thing out, and then he'd take a bite of his hamburger or a bite of his hot dog or his burrito. Disgusting. Why is ketchup so addictive?
Sweet.
Sweet, yes. What else? It's a sweet sour taste, right?
Yeah.
It has 450 milligrams of salt in a tablespoon of ketchup. Huge. That's why people love ketchup. My buddy's son, he was like, why does my son go through a ketchup bottle every week? It's the salt. And not because you play sports every day, because that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get dehydrated either. You're going to have good ducts overall. But the downside is you're going to increase your salt intake. Your body absorbs too much water sometimes, then it re-regulates to cause it to become dehydrated. Your body is self-regulated. If you take too much salt, our body will naturally dilute that, if it can, with water, and make you go to the bathroom even more. Your body will work as much as it can to get your body to normal status level, normal balance point. Problem, we add too much salt, too much sugar to our body, and our body sometimes can't dump it as quickly to cause other issues in our body, such as calcifying the arteries, going back to the heart issue. Can we limit what we're doing with, again, how we flavor our foods, and maybe a better way to make our heart and our body a little bit healthier long term? Now, I see my cardiologist goes, well, you had it because you have a hereditary issue, but I look back at the lifestyle, I lived the normal American lifestyle. I barbecued once a week, steak, pork, whatever you wanted. And if you want two steaks, go ahead, go at it. French fries at least once a week. You know, put some chili on there, some cheese, whatever you want to put on, a pastrami too. Why not? Until something happens to you. So, from my experience, if a healthy heart is what you do today for the rest of your life, to make sure you do enough to minimize the bad things for your body. The good things, we know what they are, right? What's a good vegetable?
Broccoli.
I love broccoli.
Yeah, I understand.
Good protein. Good vegetable protein, broccoli.
Spinach.
Good iron.
As long as it's raw.
Yeah. Good raw. I mean, I don't mind steaming it too. But sorry, Ron. We're both taste. We're not the same person. Sorry. Apologize.
A lot of people like it anyway. Some people don't like it.
Put it with onions, whatever you want to do, right? But if you eat, say, spinach, for example, do you eat it raw? Do you make it into a salad?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of dressing do you put on that salad?
Oh, either ranch or a red Bernadette.
Good.
I really like that.
And then how much fat and sugar and salt is in ranch? Not a lot if you use just this much. But when you start eating your ranch with your salad, when there's more ranch than salad, then you got to be worried about that. It's portions, right? Okay, I love broccoli. I can eat broccoli every day, but I can't eat it every day. So I'll go to spinach, I'll go to salad, I'll make a salad too. I'll put garbanzo beans in there, I'll put other stuff. But I'll do is, if I go to a restaurant, I'll get the dressing on the side so I can use my fork to dip it in versus give me two dressings, let me do this the whole time. Everyone, again, this is just things that I do. At that point, I can keep my arteries clogged as little as possible. Okay. What's a good protein for the heart? Food, meat-wise.
Chicken or fish.
Good, chicken or fish. What kind of chicken? What part of the body of the chicken?
White meat.
White meat. Why white meat?
Because they have less fat than...
Hey, I'm going to have you do this talk to me next year. less fat. What is fat turn into? What is fat used to make in the body?
Carbohydrates,
yes, short term. But if it gets stored, it can be turned into cholesterol. That's why a low-fat diet when you have heart issues is one of the big recommendations. Because it turns into cholesterol, and the cholesterol helps clog those arteries again if you had a heart attack, or clog them long term if you haven't had a heart attack yet. And there's good fats too, right? Let's go back to the meats again. What kind of fish is good?
Salmon.
Why salmon?
Orly.
Perfect. Omega-3s.
You what?
It's a protein, but also omega-3s too.
Yes.
Omega-3s, good oils. What are different types of oils going to from meat to oils? What's a good oil? Is it omega-3s or omega-6s? I can't answer my own question right now. Omega-3s are more of they dissolve better. Omega-6s are more inflammatory. So if you take, for example, salmon, it's about 7%, say, omega-3s. When you flop that over to a steak, it's about 7% omega-6s. So that bad oils turns into bad cholesterol, turns into clogging your hearts, arteries, and things like that. So having a diet that's mostly white meat, which has very little fat, that's why it's sometimes dry if you don't cook it right. My wife always complains, that's why she tells me. Don't make the chicken breast dry, because I tried my best. But that's why it sometimes turns out dry versus the red or the dark chicken meat is more of a greasy type of meat, more fatty. So eating a piece of fish, tuna, salmon, allows your body to have more omega-3s, so you need some fats in your body, right? Like we need some salt. If you can have more omega-3s by more fish oils, olive oil, those type of things, our body can stay a little bit healthier. I think I talked about last year about heart health too, about olive oil and taking cold pressed, basically what it is more of the raw olive oil and where it's not diluted and making sure you get the good, and again, worth the good time and maybe taking just a teaspoon every day because your oils help your body function properly. But you want to make sure you don't overdo it either with good or bad oils. And bad oils meaning anything that's fried. Most people, restaurants or facilities too, they're not, unless you're cooking yourself, you're not going to use olive oil to cook, especially for a lot of people because it's very expensive sometimes. Whereas canola oil or other oils, safflower oil even too, those are more easier oils to get, less expensive to fry foods with. And they're more higher in omega-6s with inflammatory parts that keep your body more inflamed state, again, affecting the heart and the overall body.
What if you mix your oils?
That's fine. What kind of oils do you want to mix?
Canola and olive.
Perfect. So you're getting half the benefit versus the full benefit. And sometimes I'll cook, say, a fried fish or whatever it is too, and sometimes we'll only have canola, so I'll switch a little bit here and there, maybe just even steam it too. Instead of cooking the full oil. If you eat french fries in a restaurant, what do you think it's cooked in? Most likely.
It's an ingredient called fry rice.
Mm-hmm. What's fry rice?
It's basically lard and flavorings.
Yes. So it makes it fried, but also all those oils, when it breaks down in your body, is part of your body now too. So again, I love french fries. I may have them once a month. Maybe twice a month, just don't tell my wife. All right? But a lot of it is, can we do enough? And again, not to say you have to do this, but can we figure out what our diet is based on the meal plan of the week, the month, whatever it is, this meal plan we have here, and go, okay, if I'm gonna have breakfast, I may have the eggs, but I may hold off on the bacon.
Oh, yeah.
You know? For lunch, I love turkey burger, but I may hold off on the beef tips and mushrooms, though. That sounds pretty good. Sounds really good. Okay? I may hold off for dinner. They have pork chops, chicken thighs, roasted Italian herb, potatoes, and pasta today. So you kind of take your pick your poison on that one. All right. Is pork better than chicken, or is chicken better than pork?
Well, pork has a lot of salt.
Pork has a lot of salt and a lot of fat. Yeah. I say fat because it's fat.
Yeah.
People say they like the grizz, whatever it is, it's fine. It's just fat. My Cardell said, no pork. I'm like, ever? Like, if you want to live a long life, avoid pork as much as you can. It's part of, again, everyone has their American diet, whatever they normally eat. But when we were kids, when you grew up, realize those foods were a lot more natural than they are now. People are like, no, because I make the foods, I produce the foods. But come on, the food should not last more than 4 or 5 days on your shelf or in your fridge. If it does, if it doesn't, what someone's called doesn't rot, it's a real strong word, doesn't rot, there's something wrong with it. My daughter, we were all told, right? In-N-Out makes the more, In-N-Out has the most natural fries. Natural fries. So we did the experiment. We put the McDonald's fries, it was third or fourth grade, McDonald's fries next to the In-N-Out fries. Put them in a counter or under a glass, so you could see it, like an experiment. And Within a week, both were not molding. Both looks still look like they're the same. 2 weeks later, same thing. So even though they say it's natural fries, what they cooked them in, Dave, preserved them a lot longer than a natural fry should. Now what do we do? We cut up a potato, just a raw potato, within probably maybe 20 minutes starts to oxidize. It starts turning brown, right? Okay? You cook a French fry, it doesn't turn brown, or doesn't even turn colors at that point. It stays because the oils preserve it more. So really understanding your foods and what's better for you, whatever it is too, get to understand, okay, how do I want to live? Well, one thing, well, I always ask people, how long do you want to live? Most people say, probably a long time, right? You'll say, how long do you want to live with a good quality of life?
Yeah,
there you go. Oh, I get what you're saying. We have to, and again, because we're no longer naive, we can read anything on Google Web or just on the box of a container or a can of food. At that point, we can see what it actually says. It's that is a real number. When that cereal says, Frosted Flakes says, it's 120 grams of sugar in there for every teaspoon, I'm gonna believe that. But when you're a kid, you have no idea. My parents had no idea. My dad loved hot dogs. Hot dog hamburgers and a couple cans of beer every day was considered good, right? But the problem is now we know more, so if we wanna live a healthier quality of life, can we eat a little bit better? And also beyond that, next thing is exercise. We exercise enough, no matter where you are, what you're doing, even or just your arms if you need to also, and the lower body, upper body, so your body, so your heart stays healthy. Normal heart rate's about 80 beats per minute. Could we do our walking, our moving, even just arm work too, whatever it is, so we keep our body moving, so we get that maybe 90 beats a minute. Over time, maybe a little bit more too. But are we doing enough every day? Because the heart is what? It's a muscle, correct?
Right.
If we don't work a muscle, what happens to that muscle?
It
becomes very atrophied and weak. Right. Problem with this muscle, heart muscle versus an arm muscle, is that weak muscle starts pumping less blood to the body, into the brain, causing other issues. If there's not enough blood to the brain or the body, what in the blood keeps the brain healthy? What's in the blood?
Oxygen.
Oxygen. Dave's my scientist today. Okay. So oxygen allows the brain to work properly. If you lose blood to your brain, aneurysm, stroke, heart attack, at that point, the brain starts to die off. The gray matter starts to die. So can we do enough to keep this moving, the heart rate up, whatever you want to do, maybe just upper body weights too, whatever it is, even besides your walking, other stuff, to keep this moving so every day it works enough to keep that blood flowing even when you're sleeping. A lot of it is resting heart rate. Resting means when we're sleeping, we're not moving, we're at rest for a while, what's your resting heart rate? If it's too high, it's working too hard. If it's too low, you're not getting enough blood to your body. So can we do enough, and again, everyone's different, have a routine to make sure our body is moving enough so physically, this heart stays healthy. Okay, we don't want to poison it with food sometimes. We want to make sure we're eating the right foods, but yes. But the other half is, are we doing enough to exercise to keep it healthy too? I mean, I do about 40 minutes of cardio a day, maybe bike, maybe treadmill, maybe elliptical, maybe just walking my dog. That's my number in my head. That gives me enough steps, per se, to make sure my step count is high enough so I know the next day I'm going to be good. If I don't do enough steps or walking or lose track of time or don't make time for it, within 2 days of doing that, I just don't feel good. I feel it right away almost. So I gotta go. I tell my wife, hey, whatever we're doing, I gotta hold off on that. We go do my 40 minute walk. At that point, it's a priority for me now and just for the rest of my life. I'm 46 now. This is 2020. And I figured, I lived probably half my life so far. If I change my diet, maintain that, and maintain my exercise. I used to love doing heavy weights. Love it. But realized that wasn't helping me, wasn't probably hurting me either. But I wasn't doing enough cardio, enough walking, enough heart health stuff to keep that healthy. The day before my heart, the week before my heart attack, I was lifting as much weight as I ever lifted in my life. I was strong. Problem was I was having heartburn. Didn't realize that was a sign of something going on here. So when we look at our signs and what they are, heart issues, what are common signs out there for heart problems? Besides heartburn like I had. Chest pain, shortness of breath, fainting or dizziness, an issue. Jaw pain.
Jaw?
Jaw pain. Mm-hmm. Jaw pain in the jaw. But it's more common in, and even more common women are more arm pain too.
Oh yeah, arm pain.
Arm pain. So people sometimes don't realize those are things to look out for. The problem is those are common problems that can lead to heart attacks, strokes, or aneurysms. Sometimes we don't know what your symptom's gonna be for your body. Everyone's body's different, right? So you may have problems that may have leg pain, may have lower chest pain, think you might be sick or have pneumonia or something. Those can cause problems down the line that can lead to either a heart attack or another problem causing heart issues are blood clots. So the best thing to do is not be a man like I was and go and get checked out like my wife told me to. I just didn't listen. Stubborn. I call it work ethic, but it's stubbornness. That's what it is. But can we listen to our signs and go, hey, look, go get checked out as a precaution to make sure nothing's going on. When you go to the ER urgent care, what's the first thing they usually check? Even if you say you're okay, they check your heart. You want to make sure nothing, because they don't even know. Hey, I don't know Brian. We walk into urgent care. I don't know his history. I haven't seen him before. We check this because he's having some signs of possible heart attacks to make sure it's not that. If this goes, then it's emergency. Okay, now we got to really do something real quick. Because you only have about 4-hour window of having a heart attack to having permanent heart damage. So you want to catch it right away. And they don't know. You may say you only had an hour ago. But you might be coming in the night after having it all night long. So you're going to do an EKG with you, maybe some blood work, check your heart a couple times, and then make sure it's not that first. You know, that's going to be more permanent damage than something else that might not be permanent damage. Again, heart attacks are the same thing, same signs you can have for a stroke or an aneurysm or a blood clot. My cousin, he's an ER doctor in Florida, and I met with him for dinner, my wife and I, passing him probably about six, 9 months ago. About maybe 6 months ago. And he's telling me, basically, they don't know, someone coming with just some pneumonia, some coughing, some leg pain, some back pain, and they have to check every time now for blood clots. Because they want to make sure that pain in their calf, even though they may have strained their leg, is not going to cause a blood clot causing a heart attack, causing a stroke, a day later, 2 days later. So it's almost normal practice now in their ER in Florida to check for blood clots all the time. Because you don't know what the sign's going to be. You have no idea. Some people will say you're over-testing. Yeah, but is an over-test rule something out better than dying at home the next day? Because you had a simple blood clot. So, and again, it comes down to, can we do enough to test ourselves and be like I wasn't, more humble to keep our bodies healthy and long term realize, hey, this little thing that I think is little may not be very little. Me divert myself from going to work to the hospital instead to make sure I'm not missing something I don't even know what it is. Because all of us aren't cardiologists, correct? I didn't go to med school. Even Caribbean med school, I go to Caribbean med school. It would have been nice down there probably, it would have been fun. But a lot of it is they know things, not from just going to school, but also in practice, internships and externships through their experience, that they know what to look for, to rule it in or rule it out. So being cautious of being our heart healthy, can we look for signs when it's not healthy that we don't even know what those signs might be? And not to be, everything to be fearful, but can we make sure we're checking with each other too, our friends, family, our people that we live next to and with, to make sure they know how we're doing. Except before, I was talking to my grandma when she was alive. I'd call her once a week to see how she was feeling. I'd go there with a blood pressure check and check her blood pressure and her pulse and everything else, but I could tell by her voice and by her attitude how she was doing. So you guys know each other pretty well here, at least for the most part. Because you know when someone's off, hey, what's going on? How are you feeling? Talked, I think, a couple months ago, too, in December, where by not talking about, it's not what they're saying how they're doing, it's how they act with how they're saying what they're doing. How their mannerism is. How their voice is. Are they breathing heavier than normal? Are they twitching here and there? Looking at how they're doing, even though listening to them, allows you better perspective than me to my grandma just on the phone. And seeing someone every day allows you that concept of I can watch out for myself, yes, and I keep an eye out for everybody else too around me to make sure we're all healthy together. Right? That's the biggest thing, I think. But understanding that allows all of us to, in a social sense, keep ourselves healthy. So all of us work together. So I, my wife, my family, my coworkers know when I'm off a little bit so I can get checked out myself. And not be the strong man that says I'm going to be held the rest of my life. Anything else? So just to backtrack, what we eat, looking at the menu, taking better choices sometimes, as sometimes I don't. Watching the oils we eat, the fats we eat, and the proteins and the salt too, Brian, mm-hmm. as I watch too. And not avoid the ketchup, but keep ketchup minimal, and sugars also. And also enough exercise to keep our heart rate above our normal resting heart rate, so this muscle gets oxygen to your brain, to your body, keep that muscle strong and healthy. If you have any problems at all too, talk to someone. Hey, I'm not feeling good today. And then maybe get checked out. Just check your blood pressure. They probably have it up front here, right? Yeah. Check your blood pressure. How are you doing today? Even your pulse, too. So make sure someone can check you right away. That's why you're here. You have the access to it. If I have a problem, I'm in my office. I'm going to come down here for help if I go to the urgent care. You're closer to the urgent care for me. And knowing people around you, what their personality is like, allows you to keep yourself healthy along with them watching you, too. As a social sense, so you keep a social health consciousness of each other. All right. Anything else? Brian? Good? Good, good. Dave? Dave, Brian, good? All right, I got confused for a second. I had a little turn my head. Good?
Brian.
All right, gentlemen and lady, have a good day. All right, stay healthy forever. We try to at least, right? That's all it is. Keep at it.
Keeping our heart healthy is important because we can't see it. Sometimes we can't feel a problem until it is a major problem. So can we do things to prevent heart problems, such as, again, in this talk, eating well, eating proper foods, proper portions of foods, and getting consistent amounts of exercise, especially cardio, to make our bodies stay healthy, along with keeping our doctor appointments routinely if possible, so we know our heart is doing well. Or again, the show notes has all the highlights of these talks. Write them if you want to see exactly we should be eating, and what proportions, and what are good fats that you should listen to. If not, go right to the show notes, the links to this full video, and our previous podcast, too, to keep yourselves healthy, my friends. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.